Coming out of the haze and into Studio B, this is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
And it is the good hot Thursday.
And see, it's not as bad as the beginning of the week.
No.
Where you actually smelled like a campfire.
And it walked outside and it looked like you were foggy, rainy nonsense. Yeah, man. I feel like every time we start out just talking about the weather and we think to ourselves, why don't we just do a weather show? We could fit in a couple, you know.
Sweaty tomatoes, though? We could do a garden show, too.
Absolutely fit in gardening and weather. Yeah. And brewer wrap-up. Yeah. Play a song and talk soccer and hit it. No, how was your week?
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, me too.
Had one day off.
That's enough.
No, it's not.
It's almost. Feels like enough, but it isn't.
And I had to work with you.
That's like working twice. Yeah, that's true.
True story.
It is nice to see you for the third time in a week.
Yeah.
That is
right.
Yeah. Good times. We can talk sports.
You want to?
I do. Actually.
Is there anything actually really going on in sports?
I can give you. Yeah, I mean always, right? Like,
oh yeah.
As we talked about when we started, as soon as the Brewers season starts, I can give you. If we really just wanted to talk 30 minutes about the Milwaukee Brewers every single week, I could fit that. Yeah. I could. We could talk bullpen depth. We could talk AAA. We could talk players getting called up to AAA from AA to AAA. We could talk.
The whole idea of this is try to gain listenership.
I bet there's people out there who like the Brewers as much as I do. But they're probably listening to a different station. But
probably.
Brewers this week once again were just barely above average, which has been the theme pretty much since week two. They were 4-3 in the last seven games. Sits them a half game behind Cincinnati at a robust 42-38. They were looking really, really nice. They beat some really good teams. They've struggled a little bit. They're 4-3. They're clearly playing like slightly above average team, and I think that's where they just sort of stick for the year. But I mean, that gets you 90 wins, which, you know, I guess that's what you're gonna do. Because I got a list of pluses and minuses. The Brewers' minuses for the season: Willy Adames, who was a fringe all-star, 30 home run guy, hitting 201. Not good. Just really, you can't hit 201 and they've moved him up and down the lineup. He was like a, you know, number two, number three hitter. He's sitting somewhere in the 7-8 spot. I don't know if he's got minor league options left, but it feels like they could ship him down to the minors for a little bit. 201 is not acceptable. Brian Anderson, who started out the year right around, you know, good 300, down to 220. Rudy Tellez, who is supposed to be a power hitter, a Rob Deer-esque power hitter, if anybody, he's hitting 215. Not good.
No.
Joey Weimer's hitting 213, but he plays incredible defense. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's super fast. Steals bases when he gets on base, but you're talking four regular starters hitting under 225. That is bad. That is no matter how you cut it, no matter how good your bullpen is, no matter how plus the pluses are on this roster, when half of the roster is hitting 220, it's a bad offense. And in baseball, unlike every sport, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
There's no change. There's no fix. If there was a guy in the minors, they would have brought him up by now. If there was a trade to make, nobody wants your broken players.
Like the NFL, if your quarterback, you just take him home.
You just, you know, you
play him with the backup and see what happens.
Well, you can do things like change a game plan for a quarterback. Yeah. There is not much you can do if you're just struggling to see the baseball and hit it correctly. All the coaching in the world is not going to make you better. So it's gonna be a struggle for when half your lineup is struggling to go 1-for-4. It's gonna be a long night, a lot of nights. Plus side of it, Owen Miller, Wisconsin's own, is hitting 284. Now that he's a regular starter, 284 is really nice to see out of a top of the lineup guy. He's not a lot of power, but enough speed to get on base, and so that's been really nice. The other plus, Bryce Perkins, who is a 26-year-old, hadn't played in the majors before, was a quadruple A, not a great player at any point in his career. He's hitting around 268. He's getting regular time in the outfield due to injuries, and, you know, like the rest of the team's hitting 200, so he's getting regular spots, and he's hitting, you know, around 260. And Christian Yelich, once again, Christian Yelich for All-Star. Christian Yelich is hitting 275, 280.
Yeah.
He's getting on base consistently, stealing. He's got right around 20 bases stolen. He's playing at least average, if not plus, in the outfield. Christian Yelich has been fantastic. Willem Contreras is hitting around 245, but as a starting catcher who first time starting regular games, he's going to play 120 games, 130 games. So he's been okay. Not as he was near an all-star last. He was an all-star last year for the Braves as part of a trade. Brewers got him. He's been okay. Let's see. The pitching. Oh, Luis Urias got sent down. He missed a whole bunch of the season.
So when you send somebody down, is like, are you punishing them pretty much, or just saying, you know what?
Well, I mean,
you don't have it right now. Let's send you down to minors.
The majors got a really good system for being able to get bad talent off the field. Unlike any sport, they have options up until like your fifth year in the pro as a major leaguer. Once you get 5 years of service, you can decline getting sent down to the minors. But for the first 5 years of your career, they can send you down. I think it's three times in that amount of time, and they can call up just about anybody. They called up Bryce Terang, who rookie who got sent down early in the year for struggling, was hitting a little bit better at AAA. So they're calling him up and saying, Urias is hitting like 145. Yeah. Not good. You can't have it yet. Once again, when you got four starters hitting right around 220, your fifth starter cannot hit 145.
Right.
That is not going to win you games. It makes it really hard on your pitchers. Like Corbin Burns is your all-star, is your Cy Young winner for the Brewers, and he has been average at best along with Freddie Peralta, two very average pitchers. And Brandon Woodruff hasn't pitched for like 2 months. So, yeah, when your hitters are not hitting and your pitchers you're on depth for pitching, you're an average team.
So who's the best team right now in the National League, you think?
Well,
Braves?
I'm pretty sure it was Braves or Arizona, right?
Diamondbacks are like 48-33 right now.
No, I got to – at this point in the year, if you're into the – it's worth paying attention to who some of these teams are. Early in the year, maybe not, but, yeah, Atlanta's – good. They've done well with trades and free agency, and they brought up a rookie a couple years ago. His name is Spencer Strider. One, he's got a great mustache, and two, he's got putting up amazing numbers, like striking out people like nobody's business. Yeah, right. Isn't that that's a great baseball mustache? Thank you for looking that up for me.
Yeah.
But he's putting up. So yeah, the Braves are one of those teams where they do everything correctly, so they're always going to be pretty good.
I mean, it looks like they're like 6.5 games up on anybody. I mean, on the Marlins.
Well, that's, you know, you look at the division that they're in. It was supposed to be better. There's a Mets team that spend more than anybody in baseball, and they are not good. The Nationals are the worst team. But Atlanta looks like they could be your team. Like I said, the Reds. I mean, the Reds are now, you know, they've won like 10 out of 13 games. They're really, really hot.
Yeah.
Their young players are playing really, really well.
Brewers are only a half game behind.
It's a big week. Once again, we're at the meat part of the season. You've got 7 games in a row against division opponents, Pirates and Cubs this week. You're going to travel to Pittsburgh, and you're going to win 3 games against the Pirates because I'd like to get back to the just beating the pants off the Pirates every single day.
Yeah, right.
That was a thing that happened for the Brewers consistently. And then you got 4 home games against the Cubs.
Big game.
Those are, and the Cubs and Pirates are both sitting at a couple games under 500. They're looking to, hey, they can. They're looking at the same week the Brewers are having. You know, you can win, have a good week if you're one of these two teams under the Brewers, and you could be in second place too.
Next Friday starts a 6-game, 3 games of the Reds coming home, and then Brewers turning around and going to the Reds.
Oh wow!
Isn't that weird?
That's I wonder if they catch the same train. They can go take the same. You know, like, that's a big division week. Finally, we're getting out of playing the Orioles, playing the Twins. We're getting out of playing the Diamondbacks. We're playing the heart, the meat of the season. So these are big. If you can be the Brewers, and out of these next 2 weeks, if you can win yourself 10 games, 10 out of 14, you're gonna feel really, really good. Sitting where you're sitting. The Brewers are currently, I think it's a game or two out of the wild card. What's wild card at? It is, as far as...
Well, what's Trader Irwin's
wild card? It's the best 2 teams' records that aren't winning their division.
No.
So, I mean, like I said, this is a big week. If you're a Brewers fan, and I hope you are, by now I hope you are.
Yeah. it would be Marlins, or would it be that... And the Giants.
So they're
3 games behind the Giants right now.
So these are, like I said, these are big weeks. This is also, if you're a glass half empty kind of guy, they start losing some games, start trades. Go ahead. Yeah. You know, like, if you're not winning with your great players, then you got to get rid of them, because you can't afford to keep mediocre players if you're the Brewers. You can't re-sign a Corbin Burns and find out that he's only pretty good, not great, when you're spending $25 million a year on a pitcher. If you can trade him early, trade him often. I guess, you know, as a Brewers fan, you don't get too attached to a lot of the great players that they have. It's been... You know, besides Ryan Braun, who is a, you know, he's a cheater. Yeah. He's a very cheater. It sucks. It's a bad thing when your favorite when the best Brewers player of the last, you know, 10, 15 years took steroids to get there. Anyway, yeah, if you're the Brewers, you can trade. I'm fine with that. Let's bottom out. Let's see some of this AA and AAA talent. If they're no good, hey, then you get a higher draft pick in the next couple of years. You look at the teams that are great. They have drafted number one overall. Almost every Atlanta has team. Arizona has a lot of, like, when you are drafting talent and they produce in the majors, you're gonna win games. So, yep, big week for the Brewers once again. So,
okay,
that's
baseball.
That's baseball. That's the entire week of baseball. Go Brewers. What else happened?
Well, the NBA draft was last Thursday night after we recorded.
That's right.
So.
No, I came home and watched. I thought it was going to be a short couple hours, 4 hours. Yeah. I watched the entire thing because
it's on. 10 minutes per pick or something?
I forget that they have, you know, there's 60 picks.
Yeah.
They have first and second round, and there's still the same 5 to 10 minutes between. And it goes, and like I said, you're watching grainy footage of some players that look. And it also makes you wonder. Just how good these talent evaluators, they really are great at it, because you're watching guys in college who the three best big men in college last year, none of them got drafted. They were the number one, the All-Americans.
Yep.
On the center position, none of them got drafted. Drew Timmy, who was played for Gonzaga, 4-year starter, didn't get drafted. Adema Sanago, I believe is his name, from Connecticut. He was the MVP of the Final Four.
Right.
He did not get drafted. It's an interesting thing with these guys who are drafting on pure potential, because Victor Wembanyama officially listed at 7'3". He's shrunk. He shrunk from the 7'5". There were no real surprises at the top. Not necessarily. The Twins went 4-5. The Thompson Twins. Went 4-5. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's,
sorry.
No, please. That's what we should should play. No, man, we really missed an opportunity to do some research on that one. There was no real giant surprises.
I mean, I think the Bucks traded up.
The Bucks traded up, which means they really liked a guy, because they need roster spots. If you're trading into the second round, they traded to the 36th pick. They drafted Andre Jackson
Jr.
from Connecticut. He was a junior. He put up a kind of an underwhelming stat line, something like 6 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists for the season. But he was a defensive glue guy, which the Brewers traded 4 second-round picks to get a guy like that in Jay Crowder, who didn't play. So if you're drafting a guy that early, you've got a spot for him somewhere in there.
Well. Chris Middleton, did he decline his option?
And Chris Middleton declined his player option, right, at $41 million. I mean, you're not, if you're trying to win a championship as the Bucks are, you are not replacing Chris Middleton with a second-round draft pick.
Well,
I mean, they say he's got a similar profile of that. You know, a second-round pick like Chris Middleton was, you can develop this guy, he's a glue guy. But, I mean, he basically is one of those, you draft a guy like that, you want to see him get 10 to 15 minutes playing good defense, passing the ball correctly, and not losing any games for you. They also drafted a guy at I think it was the last pick of the draft, who was a former McDonald's All-American, 5-star, went to Kentucky, put up very few numbers at Kentucky, but he was, you know, the best 15, 16, 17, and 18-year-old in the country as a high school kid. So, you know, at 58th pick overall, that's why not throw a dart for a guy like that? They can play in the G League. The NBA does do a really nice job of putting guys in the minors to develop their game, and guys like that do come up and play by their second and third year. So
I mean, other than that, then you got all the, I mean, I think free agency starts this weekend, I believe, on Friday, Thursday.
You've got a couple of trades, and then tomorrow. I think it's Friday. Yep, I want to say Friday is the opening of free agency.
Oh, 6 p.m., I think it is.
And you know, it's like there's so many odd trades in the NBA, and it's kind of hard to move guys because of how much the cap really impacts how you can make these trades.
Right.
James Harden, who, for all intents and purposes, is a washed superstar, is now going to be on his, I'll call it like his fourth team in the last few years. He's been, he's going to opt in and look to be traded by the Sixers. So it's an interesting.
They might keep him too.
They, you know, they don't want to. They do not want to keep him because if they wanted to, they would have they would have picked that up and signed him. But James Harden can give you 25 points a game. Can't
I mean,
play
he resurrected
defense.
A little bit. I mean, he showed like life again.
Yes.
This past season, like the last half of the season.
And if you're the Sixers, I did watch a lot of that playoff game. That's as good as he was going to be, and they lost. So if you can recoup something for James Harden and send him to, they're talking Houston.
But that seems like looks like the graveyard to go die. I mean, if he goes there,
yes.
Might as well just go to Japan.
It's a rebuild. You know, it's that when you throw a rebuild at it, if you are the superstar on a rebuilding team, you got to kind of wonder what happened. Would you rather take less money and be on a good team, or would you like to just put up giant numbers for
a big paycheck?
Well, yes,
a paycheck.
Good. I mean, hey, $25 million to be on a some. But so yeah, that'll be next weekend as far as the NBA goes. There's nothing else. The draft, like I said, other than they wear some really great suits.
Yeah.
And you get to talk, you get to hear a lot of guys get excited about length and
it still wasn't like the NFL.
No.
There's
no show. The NFL really is the best show. Yeah, yeah. They put on a show, everything they do.
And it clicks. It moves.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And it's, they have research and guys. And I just think there's not as many people who are interested in European basketball and minor league basketball as far as. You know, the casual fan, but the casual fan really likes to watch that NFL because you know these guys. Yes.
But it's also longer. I mean, it's 7 rounds because there's also 53 people on a roster, too, not compared to 13.
Yep. Yeah, so, you're getting one or two guys in this draft. And, so that is came and went. There'll be more.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving, you've got.
It's not a great list.
Did you hear the one thing about LeBron James' son?
Ooh.
They predicted him next year, I think it is, maybe next year. He'll go, 17th.
I did see that.
Atlanta Falcons, and then it'd be like, okay.
Hawks, so yes.
Oh, Falcons, sorry. Football.
Football, basketball.
But James has got 1 year left.
He does.
So, that was a lot of the talk was, will LeBron James just opt out and then go play that's one of his, I guess everybody's saying that.
If you're any, just about any team in the NBA, right? If you have a chance to draft LeBron James' son, and it comes with the caveat that says, you can sign, you're going to get LeBron James on the veterans minimum on this team too for a year because he really wants to play with his son. Yeah. That's a 2-for-1 that you have to do, right? Like if you're anybody, because this next draft does not have a Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
It does not have a franchise. I've looked at there's some really talented players, of course, in every NBA draft season. But no, if you had a chance to draft LeBron James' son and get LeBron James,
happened before. Where the father and son.
Oh, I believe. I'm 100% sure.
From a lot of the insiders are like, this would be the one thing that nobody's ever done before that he wants to do just to be able to say yes.
Right.
1 year, 2 years, he plays with his
Rick
son.
Rick Barry had son Brent Barry. And another son, John Barry, that played in the NBA. But there was a 20-year gap because Rick Barry didn't play for 25 years LeBron James has. So, no, I did see that.
It'll be interesting to see because theoretically then he has another son, doesn't he?
Much, much younger, like a couple years younger than that. But he does say that Bronny is the only one who really cares about basketball.
Yeah.
And, he's smart enough to know that, support his, and his son is really good. His son is going to play at USC next year.
Yep.
Playing with the number one rated point guard freshman recruit.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I think he went to LA too.
Well, it's if
the school and just a lot of things. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean that happened years ago, but yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to go on that'll happen in the next week or two.
You get these nice waves in sports. Yeah. They'll keep you just like the NFL did again. The NFL has suspended some more players for gambling.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You listen to talk radio today? Oh my God.
I have heard a lot. It is bananas to me that so many players can be talked into gambling by their friends, associates, and colleagues to throw $25 and $50 bets at a thing that they know is going to get them kicked out of.
The one
guy made a bet on his own team.
Over under
rushing yards. Like, you're going to get suspended forever. But
the problem is like, okay. I agreed with a lot of this discussion. It was the NFL has openly embraced FanDuel. You know, all this betting now,
but
that
it's
legal.
You've got to be able to differentiate between a professional football player and a gambling fan, because you've got to be able to, the employer has to be able to tell the players generally, just if you do this, you're going to not be a player in the NFL anymore. It because you really can make an impact. Like, me thinking that baseball is rigged by steroids, it's different than me thinking that the NBA is rigged by gambling or the NFL is rigged by gambling. That's not a gray area. That is something that will keep me from watching pro sports. Right. If I find out that the NFL players are able to impact games and seasons based on gambling things, no, that's a...
Yeah, it's really... You know,
and it's interesting that you're hitting fringe players. Besides the rookie Williams for the Lions, it's been fringe players, which makes you wonder also, how has nobody bigger than that gotten in trouble? Calvin Ridley, you're right. Calvin Ridley, first-round pick. He'll be back playing for the Jaguars next year. No harm, no foul. He served his punishment.
Yeah.
But it's nuts to me that they're... The gambling still is...
Well, the fact that they're making such a... I mean, huge, but yet they're turning around and saying, well, but we'll take these paychecks from the gambling, you know? Yeah, it's money. But then they're going, nope, you can't bet.
That makes... I'm fine with all of that.
Yeah, because, I understand the hypocrisy about it, though.
It does.
You know, it's like, well, really?
Well, it does. It is one of those things where they take... Yes. No, I'm with you.
Do as I say, not as I do.
I mean, it's also a thing where the NFL will take money from absolutely anything. They will take money from alcohol. I'm sure they used to take money from tobacco. I'll assume gambling is no different for the NFL to take some money from. I've never really treated my pro sports any differently than I treat my pro wrestling. But I don't want to find out that it's... I don't want to find out that it's scripted. I don't want to find out that there are players out there who can impact an entire season based on gambling. Let's say a guy gets stuck with some gambling debts and he owes, you know...
Vinny the Fish some money.
Are people willing to throw games? Because in the NFL, there are ways to throw games.
Yeah. If you're a running back...
You just don't... you're blocking and you just decide not to block, so your guy is going to get...
Your quarterback needs to be sacked 3 times and we'll wipe this clear.
Yeah, it feels you know? Like I don't want that to... I like my sports too much to...
But they're making so much. I mean, the fact that one individual only bet $1,000, when he's probably making at least league minimum.
You know, really, we should really have. This should be an entire. We could cover 30 minutes on why, and all the oddities. I do have other things. We could just be mad about.
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now.
We got like 8 minutes, right?
We're at it now at the 23 mark, 23 and a half mark.
So we got 2 minutes if we wanted to play music.
Yeah.
Well, because I had written down, we're going to skip music. We're going to talk.
Oh, here we go.
Well, making an executive decision.
Okay.
Because the rankings for the skill positions came out.
Yes.
And I just wanted to talk briefly, the 32nd ranked, and this just ranks wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends. Does not rank quarterbacks, offensive line, or defense at all. 32nd ranked was the Houston Texans, which is understandable. 31st were the Carolina Panthers. 30th, 29th, the Packers were ranked 29th.
Yep.
For skill position players coming into the year. They have no other than Aaron Jones. Other than everybody else on that skill position is below average or a complete unknown, but they are ranked as the season starts today, the average age for a pass catcher, which includes wide receivers and tight ends, will be 23.4 years old, which will rank them as the second youngest since 1990, the second youngest position group ever, behind the 2017 Cleveland Browns, which, if you remember, finished 0-16.
Good times.
That was awful, yeah. It's not to say that the Packers are trying to tank a season, but they will be treading in some really interesting water.
Unless they're really, like...
They know.
They really think they can... Do it, you know?
Well, I mean, isn't that kind of the basis of all of this with Matt LaFleur? Yeah. He knew better than Aaron Rodgers. He was betting on him knowing more than Aaron Rodgers. Yes. Well, I mean, you know, I like that. I like what we did there. That was good stuff, man. Somebody's paying attention. But it was very, very interesting to me. The Packers 2 years ago were ranked 11th when they had Aaron Jones as a Pro Bowler, Devontae Adams coming off a 100-catch season. Robert Tonyan played really well. The year after that, when Devontae Adams left last year, they were ranked 28th. Or 29th, they're ranked 28th. It'll be a really interesting season if Jordan Love is better than average to see guys like a Jalen Reed, Tyler Croft, and that Musgrave from Oregon State. They really have to be great.
Right.
There has to be a number one. Christian Watson didn't show up until about week 7 or 8 last year. Romeo Dobbs was good. Hurt. He was great.
You know?
Romeo Dobbs looked like more of a reliable number two, Robert Brooks-style wide receiver. He missed half the season. Those are your starting two.
Yeah, because what's his name left to go to Jets?
You've got no Alan Lazard. You've got Randall Cobb. Your third stringer or your slot receiver is drafted Jalen Reed. He's the guy you drafted in the second round, just like you drafted Christian Watson. So if you're looking for early results, the Packers are not. They don't line up well. Rookie wide tight ends and wide receivers, you're not looking at huge numbers. And to start the year, I feel like it's just going to be Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon running it about 25, 30 times a game.
You'll find out, like we've talked about before, what Jordan Love is this year.
I'm super. It's the first time. When is the last time I cared about preseason Packer football? Was probably when Aaron Rodgers was in his first couple of years, his first year as a starter, was the last time it was any interesting position battle worth caring about in the Packers preseason or interesting. But watching Jordan Love either succeed or fail in the preseason is going to be some interesting football.
I mean, they're putting it all there for him now.
He's in a position where if they succeed, you've got a lot of talent that they've surrounded him with, right? Offensive line looks really good. Your defense, if healthy, is one of the better. When you look, the skill position, very low for the Packers. The everything else on the roster,
right,
really good.
We'll find out.
If healthy, offensive and defensive line, front seven, look super, super good for Green Bay. But your Minnesota Vikings were ranked in
16th,
which feels about right.
Dalvin Cook. We've lost pretty much had to replace every cornerback.
Yes.
Because we lost him in the offseason. But, I mean, that's the Flores. I mean, that's him wanting to go, you know, we don't need him. We'll do this, and this. And they've done. But it's still our backups. I mean, we've got a strong O-line. First time all five starters are returning.
Oh, wow.
First time in 5 or 6 years that our OC is actually returning, too. First time.
Were they fired before?
No, they all took,
Better jobs?
Yep, head coaching jobs.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I'm optimistic. We'll see. This will be the year for Kirk Cousins to do what he's going to do. Otherwise, he's going to probably be gone.
He's not going to be gone. He's going to retire a Minnesota Viking.
All right. Look at the time.
Do we have time? No, we do not. What else happened real quick?
You got 25, not even.
Domingo German threw a perfect game for the Yankees, fourth time ever. That's all that happened in sports. Thanks, everybody.
Yep, that's it.
Thanks, everybody. This has been our best show ever, and thanks for listening. Have a wonderful week. Bye.